great. So first off, I just want to get the rumour that's going around that I'm only here for the food out of the way. That is a complete lie. Stop judging me on my weight, all right? Bang out of order. Now, I am here. I've been a young person, so I've sat where you have sat. I've been a young leader, so I've bossed younger people around like you. And I've been an adult leader. And now I have, honestly, it's an absolute pleasure coming to speak to you tonight, because I've been on all the different levels, and it's so exciting to see. You guys are on an amazing journey, and I get to be a part of that. It's really super exciting for me. I just want to get a few things out of the way. So some people have told me in the past that their parents have told them never to trust people with beards. So to those people whose parent has said that before, this is why I have a beard. Because when I don't have a beard, I look like this. I've got a bum chin. So that's why I have a beard. Okay, guys? All right? I would shave it off and show you, but it's just not worth it. I'm on a tangent already. Apparently, you're not supposed to cut your beard for the first 5 weeks. Women? So, there you go. You're not allowed to cut it, because otherwise it goes all weird and straggly. I often cut my beard, so anyway. Right, let's crack on with why we're actually here. So, the 12. Great. This is such a big topic that it's... can we get rid of him again? Sorry, he's putting me off. Wonderful. So I called this mini-series the 12 that followed. So over the next 4 sessions, I want to take a look at the 12. They spent like between 18 months and 3 years with the Son of God. So we've got to be able to learn something from them, haven't we? And I'll try and draw that out. We'll be looking at their character, how they changed, what changed, and their relationship with Jesus, find out what they learned along the way. So it's going to be fun. So the 12 were personally selected by Jesus. Jesus knew beforehand their faults, and he chose them anyway. So we find ourselves at the start where Jesus' whole ministry is hinged on these 12 ordinary people. But I thought, before we do that, I'm not going to have the time to touch on all 12 of the disciples, because some of them literally just get mentioned by name. They don't do anything that's recorded that's super exciting. So let's go through, and I'll introduce you to the disciples as we go. So our first one is... No, that's not him. Oh, no! I was going to introduce my wife. I'm so sorry. Let's introduce my wife. That's my wife, the older one. That's Fiona. Next. Oh, that's Annie and Dougie. They're my children. They're 18 months apart. So, that's fun. And then that's my mum and dad. So, like, you wanted to know my mum and dad. Anyway, let's get to the 12. Here we go. So, that's my excitement for this topic. So this is Peter, Simon Peter. He is the disciple with a foot-shaped mouth. Okay. His previous job was a fisherman. His membership to the 12 was inner circle. Yeah, he was in the inner circle. He's known for denying Jesus 3 times and for being the rock. Not the rock that we know, not the wrestler, but, you know, the rock, right? He also wrote books in the Bible. So he was crucified, okay? He was crucified upside down because he didn't want to be equal to Jesus. He didn't think it was right, so he was crucified upside down. The next one. This is Andrew. He is the disciple. I called him the disciple of the connector. His previous job was fisherman. Very exciting. Membership to the 12. He was the inner circle again. Known for bringing people to Jesus. So he brought his brother Peter to Jesus. Other than that, he played second fiddle to Peter. So and he didn't get jealous or resentful. So that talks a lot about his character, doesn't it? That because I would have been like, hang on a minute. I met him first. I should be the leader of the group. Anyway, so he died. This is really exciting, isn't it? He died. He suffered on an X-shaped cross for 12 days, apparently. 2 days. Don't want to teach you wrong. 2 days. And do you know what he did for those 2 days? He preached. He's hanging on a cross, dying, and he preached to passers-by. This guy's amazing. James? He is the disciple of passion. I love this lady. She's amazing. Previous job, fisherman. Membership in a circle. Known for being a man without jealousy, living in the shadow of his brother John. Other than that, he's the brother of John. How did he die? He was beheaded. Yeah. So someone sold him out, right? So like Jesus sold Jesus out, but he converted the guy who sold him out and died alongside each other. How cool is that? If someone sold you out, I'm pretty sure you wouldn't want them to be in heaven, would you? Anyway, he did. Next, John. John was the disciple of love. Previous job, fisherman. Get in. Membership, inner circle. Known for being the beloved disciple. And he wrote 3, maybe 4 books in the Bible. And he is the only one who died of natural causes, apparently. Only one of the 12. So, next one. Philip. Philip was a fisherman. And his membership to the 12 was tier 2. Tier 2. He was a tier 2 membership kind of guy. So, he was known for being one of the first of the disciples called. So Jesus said, follow me first to him. That's quite exciting, isn't it? So I'm just going to go quickly through these because it's important that we get to know them really quickly and then we'll get there. So who wants to know how Philip died? Yeah, we all do. Yay. Let's focus on death. Anyway, he died. Well, he was burnt and then crucified, apparently. Maybe just went under a candle and then got crucified. I don't know. Okay, next. Nath. He is the innocent one. Previous job, we don't even know. The Bible doesn't tell us. Membership, let's call him a fisherman. His membership was tier 2. Okay, tier 2. So he's with Philip. Some scholars think that he was from royal blood. Blood. He was a blood. And who wants to know how he was died? By knives. Right, that sounds fun, doesn't it? Anyway, Matthew. It's Matt Wild. He was the tax collector. So the equivalent job for nowadays of a tax collector is probably someone who works in probably the Arsenal clubhouse shop. Just dirty. No one liked them. Just not fun sort of guys. So he was He was known for writing. Writing Matthew. And this is what scholars say, that unlike most of the others, because they were fishermen probably, he could write. Yep. Look at that. That guy does not look like he can write. Anyway, so Thomas. Oh, sorry. Oh, he was knifed in the back. Yeah, there's something about these tier twos and being knifed. Anyway, Thomas. So some people call him Doubting Thomas. I call him the Eeyore of the group. Who knows Eeyore? Well, we're going to look at Thomas tomorrow night, and I will explain more why I have called him the Eeyore of the group. Previous job, we don't know. Membership, he was tier two. Yeah, tier two sort of guy. He was known for wanting evidence and wanting to poke Jesus where it hurts. And how did he die? By a spear. Yeah. Spear. Okay. Let's go to tier three sort of guys. Okay. Next we have James the Younger. So previous job? No, yeah, fisherman. Membership tier three, known for question mark. So some people think he wrote James in the Bible. How did he die? Blood? No. He got stoned. Not like that, Muhammad. You can't die. Well, you can die from that. But unbelievable. Rocks. It means rocks. Unbelievable. Right. Let's move on quickly. All right? Unbelievable. Right. Simon. Simon the Zealot. So his previous job was a fisherman. He has a tier three membership card. He's known for his name. I don't know why I put that. Anyway, so he was a zealot. So zealots were crazy sorts of people, right? They were anti-Romans. Full of passion to see Rome destroyed. So I reckon Simon really only followed Jesus because he was hoping that Jesus would get rid of the Romans and then that he'd have the ear of the most powerful man alive. I reckon that's why he first followed. He was a crazy man. He would have been on the front. He'd probably be the one like that. He's that sort of guy. Okay, right. Judas. Oh, sorry. Crucifixion. Yeah. The Romans loved to crucify people back then. Okay, so Judas, not Iscariot. I'm not with him, not with the other Judas. Judas had loads of names. His previous job potentially was fisherman, tier three again. So he was a zealot like Simon. So he just wanted Jesus to rule, basically, just because he could have Jesus' ear, really. He was killed. By arrows. Sorry? No, this is a different Judas. So he's got other names. So Jude, Thaddeus, Levivivivus. So he was killed by arrows. Okay, this is the Judas you want to know about. This is Judas. Judas Iscariot the traitor. So his previous job, we're not sure about, but scholars again think that he was the only one not from around Galilee, so where everyone else was picked up by Jesus. They think he was the only one. So really, he was a bit different. He had a beard, probably. Not to be trusted. Yes, all right. Their mums were wrong. Okay, so he was tier three membership. So he was known for what? What was he known for? Betraying Jesus. For how much? Hang on. For a Lamborghini? No, not a Lamborghini. Don't swear at me. What was that? 30 pieces of silver. Not even gold. Have you noticed that before? Like, you would have thought he would have tried to barter a little bit more than 30 pieces of silver. Right? Anyway. It depends on how big they were. I like your thinking. So he was also the treasurer of the group. So he obviously didn't like Matthew, who was a tax collector, good with money. But no, he was the guy who was looking after the money for the group. True that. How did he die? He hung himself. Self? He hung himself. For reasons we know, don't we? We know why. Because he was a traitor. What? Yeah, he hung himself. He hung himself and then his insides fell out. Like, that's serious hanging. Anyway, let's not dwell on that too much. So the disciples, these 12, I wanted to paint a picture a little. Hand up. Go on in. Did he go to... Oh, man. Matt Wild, did he go to hell? Cheds, did he go to hell? go to Matt's seminar. He'll find out. Yes. Right? I think he would tell. Anyway, so they spanned belief spectrums. We had former zealots who wanted to tear down the Roman Empire. We had tax collectors or Arsenal supporters who we have traitors. So the tax collectors would have been seen to have been like traitors to the Jewish culture. You know, they were partnering with the Romans. Oh. So I bet Simon the Zealot and Matthew really got on. They must have loved it together. But they were from such a diverse group of people. And like they were just friends. They got on. So this is strange. So they were ordinary. The 12 were personally selected and called by Jesus. He knew them only as their creator could know them. In other words, he knew all their faults long before he chose them. And he would have known even Judas would have betrayed him. Yet he chose Judas anyway. So if you were Jesus, and you were thinking about taking over the world, how would you do it? So I've thought about this quite a lot, and I've got a couple of answers. I sat up listening to a couple of young people's ideas. But next, the person next to you, just 2 minutes. How would you take over the world? Ready, steady, cook. Okay. Over food, I'd love to hear how you would take over the world. I had a friend. I won't say his name because a few of you might know him. His idea of taking over the world was with Siberian huskies. No. Ethan, I won't say his name out loud. His idea was to use Siberian huskies to chase away the naughty people. Anyway, it wouldn't work. You can't train Siberian Huskies to chase away just bad people. Anyway, I never really thought about it too much, but I did plan how to steal meerkats from a zoo once. Like, no, I didn't do it. No, otherwise I wouldn't be here. Literally, such a detailed plan, it was a bit scary. It scared me slightly. So God's plan was to gather 12 ordinary people, like you and me, to spend between 18 months and 3 years with them, and then release them to change the world. Did anyone say that? To gather fishermen, train them, and send them out to change the world. That was God's plan. No backup plan, no subs in. Jesus knew what he was doing. From his perspective, the ultimate success and strategy didn't depend on skill, rather depend on the very Spirit of God working in them. This mission couldn't have been beaten. Tonight, I want to spend some time looking at the traitor, Judas, because I think there's something we can learn from Judas's life that I don't want to miss. We can sometimes think, "Oh man, let's focus on the 11 because you know they were good people, they did good stuff." But let's not miss what Judas we can learn from Judas. So Judas always appears at the bottom of the list, probably because the people writing the Gospels were so annoyed with him. Peter was always the first because he was kind of like the group's earthly leader, and Judas was bottom because he was a traitor. Let's just look at it from a different perspective for a moment. Judas was around Jesus 21 hours of the day. I said 21 because I'm just allowing, you know, men poo for a lot longer than women. So I've allowed for Jesus to poo, for Judas to poo, and then for maybe them to go to the different shop. So roughly about 21 hours of a day together with the Son of God. He witnessed all the miracles, healings, demons being cast out. He ate with Jesus. He drank with Jesus. He could approach Jesus at any time of the day. That's big, isn't it? Can you imagine that? Walking down the road, stubbing your foot and going, "Ah, that really hurts." Or playing football, twisting your ankle, then going in goal and then having the ball hit you and you've broken your ankle. Could you imagine? You could get Jesus just to be like, "Can you heal me, please?" Like, that's amazing, right? Could you imagine that? Judas was around him. He was around the Son of God. But Judas committed the most horrific, horrendous act any individual has ever committed. He betrayed the perfect, sinless, holy Son of God for a handful of money. His dark story is a clear example of the depths of which human hearts are capable of sinking. He spends time with Jesus, but in his heart, he was only growing harder and more hateful. So I've asked a few of the leaders to read out some of the Bible to us. I think, Ched, are you the first one? Do you want to just stand where you are? And wonderful, thank you. This wasn't an arrest. Their intention wasn't really to just arrest Jesus. Their intention was to murder Jesus. Their intention was always to get rid of Jesus. That's the reason why they went at night, was because in the daytime, Jesus would have had crowds and crowds of people around him that probably would have stuck up for Jesus, but they came at night because it wasn't an arrest, it was murder. So just imagine how Jesus would have felt. Invested so much time, so much effort into him. He loved him. How would the others have felt? The other 11? If you were one of them, how would you feel? For me, I would have been like, Judas, you were one of us. Like, what are you doing? Jesus is arrested. Jesus is put in a series of false trials, really, because it wasn't an arrest, it was a murder. All of this happened at night because they were scared. Jesus is beaten to the point of that you wouldn't recognize him, crucified, buried. 3 days later, he rose. It escalated really, really quickly. But I want to work out how Judas felt. Jesus felt bad, like I'd imagine. But there's one thing that he doesn't do. He doesn't change. So if we compare two situations of two people messing up, so Peter denied Jesus and he was absolutely horrified that he had done that. Absolutely horrified. He felt so bad that when he heard that Jesus was alive, he jumped up and ran to the tomb for forgiveness. Do you see what he did? Felt horrific and needed forgiveness. Judas' response? Judas felt bad. Couldn't remember what Jesus said about repentance, obviously. And didn't repent. And that's the difference. The other 11 are great encouragements to us because they show us how common people typically fail and can be used by God in uncommon ways, remarkable ways. Judas, on the other hand, stands as a warning for us at the potential of spiritual carelessness, lust, hardening of hearts. Here is a man who draw as close to the Saviour as humanly possible. This is a man who drew as close to Jesus as humanly possible. Sat through amazing teaching, knew Jesus' heart, but it didn't go into his heart. There's a difference between following and believing. The Bible tells us one thing is the life of Judas reminds us that it's possible to be near Jesus, relate to him closely but superficially, and become utterly hardened to the things of this world. This is big because he was with Jesus but yet was hardened to the things of Jesus. I'd like you to stand up now. Invite the band up. Okay, guys, try not to talk too much. So I was praying about what God wanted to do when I spoke about Judas. And there's a picture that I want to share with you. And that's of a heart. And that heart, this heart had lots of rooms. Corridor with lots of rooms coming off it. And some of those hearts had been hardened. The doors wouldn't open. And I believe that for Judas, he was around Jesus, but some of those doors in his heart, he didn't want to open to Jesus. He wanted to keep them shut, keep them locked, keep them bolted. Jesus, you can't have this door. You can't have my all. You can't have my choices that I make. You can't have my lust, my love of money. You can't have my desires, my future hopes. Jesus, you can't have that. So I just want you to close your eyes now. And I believe that some of you have come to Letton and you've just been following Jesus. You've been going to church, ticking the box. Yep, Sunday done, tick, I'm still a Christian. But yet in your heart, there's some rooms that you haven't given to Jesus. And there's a difference. Judas didn't give Jesus his heart. Jesus calls for all of us. Not just certain rooms, not just the Sunday room. He wants all of you. So just as we listen to the strumming, just ask Jesus, maybe out loud, maybe in your head, just what rooms, Jesus, do I need to unlock for you? What rooms are stopping me from giving my all to you, Jesus? Because I don't want to just follow you. I want to give you my all. I want to give you my heart. That's big. As we start letting first evening, give your heart. Don't just follow.